course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Just, living the dream. Trying to hang shelves just a little bit ago, and that's always a fun time.
Yeah. Oh, so everybody's gonna be doing something.
Yep, that's right.
Well, on this episode, something we're gonna be doing. Well, we're gonna be doing lots of something, but the primary something is we're going to review the movie The Monkey. So we'll be doing that here in a little bit. Before we get to that, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I watched a couple things. Let's see. I watched. I think I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but we finished watching Dexter, and we started on Dexter New Blood, which is like the it was like a short se not a short series per se, but it was like a short series that takes place after Dexter. We finished that. That was pretty good, and we actually started on Dexter Original Sin, which is sort of like the backstory to like what he does and whatnot. And it's interesting. It's different actors and actresses who play a lot of the main cast that we get to, meet in the main series. So it's interesting. But it has Patrick Dempsey and Sarah Michelle Gellar in it. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, other than that, I didn't really watch a whole lot else. Just kind of busy weekend.
Yeah, me too. As usual, I didn't watch anything. At least I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I did, but then I feel like I don't. I don't know. I don't remember anything. So no,
He doesn't
I
remember his
just
name currently, but
no. I still got the old fatigue thing going from the flu, where I get tired so easy. So it's like I get everything done by the time I'm off work, and it's just like I'm wasted. I'm so
yeah.
tired, so but so it keeps me hopping. So then, all right, let's move on to our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where we talk about a cheesy or campy horror movie that we suggest you give a watch. Now, we know that the monkey is not based on an animal per se, but we're going to have a little bit of an animal theme on some of these segments, including in this, where our cheesy slasher of the week is Monkey Shines. It is based on a novel written by Michael Stewart. It was adapted and directed by George A. Romero. I feel like we may have talked about this in some capacity at some point, but that's okay. It applies again. It was starring Jason Begg, John Pankow, Kate McNeil, and others. It was released in theaters on July 29th, 1988. It did $1,902,024 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number 12. And I believe that was the peak of it. And I believe that they have proclaimed Monkey Shines was a box office failure, because I don't know that it made back the money. Whatever, I don't know. But the movie is described as a quadriplegic man has a trained monkey help him with his paralysis until the little monkey begins to develop feelings and rage against its new master. Hijinks ensue. The main star is Jason Begg, who plays Sergeant Voight in the Chicago PD series, for fellow people that watch Chicago, the Chicago shows, like I do.
Oh, okay.
That's him. And the movie's okay. I've heard some online chatter and confusion. Nope, no pun intended. That I saw some people thinking the monkey was like a remake of Monkey Shines or some correlation. I don't know. I don't feel like those people maybe saw Monkey Shines to know what that was, because I believe on the poster of Monkey Shines, and I could be wrong on this, I believe it did have like a toy monkey picture for some reason.
I think so, because I think I've seen the cover of it, and it's like the pretty much the same as the monkey.
Yeah, and it's been so long since I've seen the movie. I don't know if that is in the movie at all, but I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like people then just saw the poster and thought this was maybe another take, that maybe they had already done this short story by Stephen King. It's not. It's two different things. So, but there you have it. That is Monkey Shines. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. It is time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or just on a topic that we have seen mentioned somewhere in social media. And this is not a specific topic that I saw on social media, but I have seen some people bring up time, a couple times here and there about horror movies involving animals. And again, I know the monkey's not an animal in this case for this movie, but still. So the point is then that we're going to talk here for a moment is that horror has delved into terror involving virtually every animal. Is there an animal that we can think of that they should try but haven't, or maybe haven't tried widely? Well, I my two. You know the two things that I hate that would terrify me more than anything, but it may not apply for anybody else. Or at least not very many people. I would be completely freaked out by any movie involving frogs or turtles. And if you combine those two, that would really, I'm telling you, turtles are just, ugh. And they hide, and I almost had a snapping turtle, get a hold of my leg one time. So, and then you see that there are some turtles that are not slow, that are incredibly fast, which that is just absolutely terrifying. That's like World War Z zombies can run, kind of terrifying. And frogs are just disgusting. I don't know, they're nasty. I have always just hated frogs. And I do know there was a movie called Frogs, and I think I have seen it, but I don't think there's a whole lot of frogs in it. I don't know why. I can't remember why it's called Frogs, but I seem to remember that the majority of the animal problems in that was other stuff. I could be wrong. It's a very old movie, like in the 50s or 60s, I believe, or something like that.
Thanks.
So those are kind of terrifying to me. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we did have Frog Man, which I guess was kind of a take on that. But I don't know that those would necessarily be overly terrifying. I mean, unless you had some kind of big mutant turtle that, because turtles can live for hundreds and hundreds of years. But what if one just something happened and it grew to this enormous size, and that would be a little terrifying.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'd say so.
And imagine if the person has to go like inside the shield. Ooh, okay. I can't even think about that anymore. Any animal pop to mind for you, Ike?
So, I actually, it's weird that we were talking about that because I remember I was looking up movies that had animals in it, trying to refresh my brain. And because we have a another segment coming up that required me to refresh my brain, but I thought about it, and as part of that like Googling process, I was like, what if they, one of the things that I hate most, and it's not necessarily an animal, it's part of the animal kingdom, I guess, but I hate the bug, the tick. I hate ticks. Those little bastards are just creepy, and I used to. Some used to live in Indiana, and if you go into like wooded areas, there are ticks everywhere. Down where I'm at here in Florida, there's not as bad of an infestation of ticks, generally speaking, but I hate them. They're the worst. They're disgusting. They're just vile little creatures. So it'd be interesting to see like a modern movie made about ticks because they have done it before. But it'd be interesting to see like a modern take on like ticks or something like that. Other than that, I would say like, I mean, because you think about like some of the, I mean, because there's snakes. Snakes have been in a lot of horror movies, wolves and dogs, stuff like that. That's pretty common.
Plenty of spiders, lots of sharks, some piranhas and things like that. I mean,
Crocodiles and.
there's even been some birds. There's been a maybe, maybe not as prominent in the birds, maybe, but
I think it'd be cool to see like a horror movie based around like a crap, what are they called? The bears in Antarctica, the polar bear. Because it, well, so funnily enough, Monica, Dave's wife, loves polar bears and wants to cuddle them, and we have to tell her every time, polar bears will just rip you to shreds. They don't care. But like polar bears, man, they're pretty frightening. Like they're like 8 or 9 foot tall, and they like specifically seek out and kill humans. So it's like, you know, we are not the top of the food chain when they're around.
They did Cocaine Bear. I wonder if why anybody never did a spoof of, Cocaine Polar
True.
But let's get a polar bear high on something and see what that sucker does.
Right? That some bitch will take down a military at that point. That thing's unstoppable.
That's right. It'll
Damn.
single-handedly take down those hidden Nazi bases that they. Oh, never mind. All right then. Let's move on to our next segment.
Top three.
And on this episode, we're going to do top three. This is the very first segment we ever did. This is for a while, it was the only segment we did. And this is where Ike and I make top three lists of whatever the topic is. And these are just our top three favorites related to that. And once again, we know the monkey is not about a toy, but we're going to do our top three favorite horror movies involving animals. And I do feel like we have done this before early on in the show. I really do. This seems like an obvious one. And then again, this is probably the exact same list. And anybody that knows me knows my top three is not going to be any surprise, because I'm kind of predictable about things. So, all right, Ike, are we ready to dive into top three?
I think so.
All right, well, I'll kick us off, and again, these three, they could flip flop on any day probably, based on how I'm feeling. But these are three tried and true classics for me. And my number three choice for today is The Fly from 1986. We have talked so many times about The Fly, how good it is. The transformation scene is so good, and just that little pesky fly causing such trouble and everything else. So. And again, I don't know. I just bugs are weird. Bugs are d disgusting, and even flies. Flies are especially disgusting. They're just dirty little things, and I mean, they come from maggots, and which are just even more disgusting. So, the thought of a human fly is just yikes. That's terrifying. So, that is my number three favorite animal horror movie. Ike, what is your number three?
Yeah, also to add to what you were saying earlier, I'm pretty sure we've done something similar. I don't know if it was specifically animals, but it may have been around the time Cocaine Bear came out, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like, but that's okay. It's been long enough. That's a couple
True.
years ago. We'll revisit.
It is. But you know what? Weirdly enough, my number three is Cocaine Bear. We watched it recently, and man, it was just a funny time. It was such a funny movie. It was stupid as hell, but it was so funny. So we have a full review in our archives, so I won't get into it too much, but Cocaine Bear is just a stupid movie. It is stupid, but it is funny. Plenty of gore, and just, I mean, it's based on a true story of a bear who got into some cocaine, and this bear was a little crazier, I feel like, than the real story. But hey, what's a true story if not inflated just a little bit?
Yeah, the actual bear that got into cocaine didn't live very long at all because his heart like pretty much exploded because of the cocaine. But that's okay. Yeah, I do like Cocaine Bear. I haven't seen it in a while, and I think there was just an anniversary on the date that we had in the news last week or a week before here recently that made me think of it and thought, hey, I haven't watched Cocaine Bear in a while, and that's just good old fun. So. And all right, my number two, and we're in the vein because the monkey is a Stephen King, based on a Stephen King writing, and my number two is also based on a Stephen King writing from 1983. It is Cujo, and man, Cujo when I was a kid was so damn scary. Even to me, the television edit version that they did have a TV version, and it was still scary. That big slobbery dog just going nuts. And of course, then the movie's just doubly good because it's got Dee Wallace in it, who I love Dee Wallace. So, and written by Stephen King, you can't go wrong. But Yeah, thankfully I don't have I love dogs. I don't have any fear of dogs at all. And but it's a wonder that after watching Cujo as a kid that I didn't develop some form of a fear of dogs. So but
Right.
no. That is my number two favorite animal horror movie. Ike, what do you have at number two?
Well, that's honestly bad what you said. It's a wonder I don't have a fear of a lot of things with all the horror movies I watched growing up. Oh, Lord. But weirdly enough,
Maybe
my number.
it helped us cope with things so that we didn't have fears.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like a safe space to watch things about scary
Sure.
things and.
You face your fears or potential fears and expose to them, and you can think, well, you know what? If I see the dog down the road or dog whatever in town, it's not like that dog, so I'm okay.
True. Very true.
All
But
right.
my number two is the movie Ticks. It's a movie from 1993. You can watch this on like Freevee or Pluto or Tubi, all of those free services. But it has, so weirdly enough, I watched this and it's literally about these people who are camping in the woods and there's like mutated ticks. And it's got like Seth Green and Alfonso Ribeiro on it.
Oh my gosh.
So
Wow.
it's not like super scary. It's a little weird, but it's pretty much your typical like insect related horror film of some sort. So it's not like super revolutionary by any means, but it was fun. And I hate ticks, so I was like, this just seems like something I need to put in the list.
Yeah, little blood-sucking, disease-carrying things that you can have latched on you and not even realize it. They're just
Right.
bad. So, all right, that brings us to our number ones. And I almost venture to guess, Ike, that you and I could probably guess each other's number ones. What do you think? Do you think you could guess mine?
Honestly, it's one of two,
Well,
and we
I think I might be able to guess your. Maybe I don't know. Let's take a shot.
let's do it.
You try to guess what my number one favorite animal horror movie is.
Is it Pet Sematary?
It is not. You know what? I totally forgot about Pet Sematary. I'm not sure where that would have made it on the list, but no.
My
What was
other
your other
guess would be the thing.
one? No. Well, you're way off.
Really?
No, my number one favorite animal horror movie and one of my favorite movies of all time is Jaws from
Oh
1975.
yeah. I
So.
forgot about Jaws completely. Jaws is an
Yeah,
animal, it's a shark.
sure is. Well, it's a mechanical shark that they had a lot of trouble with, but it was damn realistic looking.
Was. Oh
Very
man, I
frightening.
completely forgot about Jaws. Oh
Right.
man, I'm
That's
slacking.
right. That's my number one of my favorite movies, just period of all time. And I'm going to go out on a wild limb because I know you have an affinity for this movie, and I'm going to say that your number one is Eight-Legged Freaks.
So, no, I was going to put Eight-Legged Freaks on this list, but I remembered I'd put it on a list previously. You are 100% correct, though, that if I had to choose like one animal horror movie like ever, it would probably be Eight-Legged Freaks because it's one of the best damn spider movies of all time. But no, it's not Eight-Legged Freaks.
Then I have no guess then. What is your number one favorite animal horror movie
It's
for
actually a
today?
movie I watched not too long ago. It's The Thing. I rewatched The Thing and I really enjoyed it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put The Thing on my list today. I think that's the thing to do,
Yeah.
but yeah, The Thing. I mean, The Thing is not explicitly an animal movie, but it very much involves animals,
It does, yeah.
qu quite a bit, in fact. And I mean, yeah, it's just
Such
a
a great movie.
spooky. It's a very good movie. I recently rewatched it like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I remember I specifically remember I forgot to mention it on the podcast because I had watched it on TV, like actually on TV, not like on a streaming service. I watched it on one of those TV services. I think Vizio TVs have like a cheap free streaming service that's just like TV channels. So I watched it on there and I just completely forgot about it. But yeah, I watched The Thing and I was like, I gotta put that on the list.
Such a good movie.
It is.
All right. Well, everybody give us some feedback. Let us know what your favorite animal horror movie is. And hit us on the social medias. and let us know. So let's take a break. When we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, upcoming releases, and all that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news, spreading the news, spreading the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off, we have some Terrifier news. Following the lead from the previous films, Terrifier 3 will get a novelization by Tim Wagner. And there's no release date right now, but this is good news. Actually, I learned of the novelizations not too long ago, and it made me put them on my Amazon list. So I gotta buy them soon and hopefully read them. But super good. I think novelizations are super cool and not done as much as they used to be. I feel like back in the day, everything got a novelization, but nowadays it's kind of few and far between.
In the 70s and 80s, everything got novelizations. I mean, if there was a hit TV show, they were doing books either based on episodes or additional stories or something. But any movie that was a hit got a novelization. And but they were always cool because it's like a lot of times they would work on the novelization before the film was finished. So they were kind of working like off the scripts and stuff. And so a lot of times you'd get stuff that didn't make the film.
Yeah,
that would be in the novelizations, which was kind of cool. And the last, kind of one of the last, at least as far as I've noticed, that impacted me is here not too long ago, well, while the show was still on, they did do, I don't know, whatever, somewhere in the 15 to 20 book range of supernatural novels, books, that were they were not stories from the TV episodes. They were just other stories. And there's about, like I said, somewhere in the 15 to 20 range. I'm not sure how many, but that's kind of cool because you don't, like I said, you don't see a lot of that anymore. So
very true, but very cool. So we'll hopefully get a release date on that in the near future. But until then, keep your eyes peeled. And we have now from the team behind the Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey movies, we have Popeye's Revenge is now available to rent or purchase on Amazon. Obviously, this is just another one of the fantastic films that come out of the public domain horror. And I don't think we need to tell you that Dave and I are huge fans of all public domain horror. And definitely we'll be checking out Popeye's Revenge because why the hell not?
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't already purchased it on Amazon because I remember this, you know, being talked about and thought that it was I remember seeing the trailer and I thought, no, it's kind of exciting. Kind of like it. So bring it on. Just do anything. I don't care.
Yeah.
And, but I'm ready to watch Popeye.
Ready to watch Popeye. Popeye the Killing Man. All right. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays. March 1st, 1978. We have a friend of the show. At least I like to pretend he's a friend of the show. Jensen Ackles from his fame of Supernatural and My Bloody Valentine. Did you know that he actually voices Batman in some of the animated movies? I think it's like the Crisis on Infinite Earths movies that they did, the animated.
Yep. He also voiced Red Hood in some movies.
Oh, I did not know that. I could see Jensen Ackles playing like a Batman, I don't know which version of Batman, but I could see him playing a version of Batman.
Yeah, he's wanted to. He's always wanted to play Batman, but yeah, that would be good. But he's got all kinds of things. You know, he's got, I mean, obviously he was in The Boys, and we'll have more of that coming out. And then there's another Boys offshoot series he'll be in. And there's, I can't remember what, the count. I think a show called Countdown that's going to be on Amazon. I think, I can't remember, where he plays like an LA detective or something. And that he's going to be in. And he's a, He's a busy dude.
Gotta be busy. Gotta be
And that's
busy. I
good.
mean,
Can't get enough.
I was gonna say, and he's probably working on The Boys too. You know, the next season that should hopefully be getting pumped out in the near future, God willing. But very good. All right, we're gonna move on to our other birthday this week. We have March 4th, 1947. Gunnar Hansen, the original Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Gunnar Hansen is probably the most iconic version of, our boy, Leatherface. And I would venture to guess that, well, there are probably some other pretty memorable performances, but I can't really tell you the name of any other Leatherfaces other than Gunnar Hansen. So either that's a me problem or a Gunnar Hansen is the OG problem. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I can't remember. I feel like I once knew who played like the more modern, and I can't remember. Was it? I don't even want to say. For some reason I was thinking there for a bit it was Tyler Mane, but I could be totally wrong on that.
I mean, I
But
know
just
he plays Michael, doesn't he? Tyler Mane does.
no, does it? I
Yeah, I
don't. You
thought.
know.
Yeah, he plays Michael Myers
Yeah,
in
he plays
the
Michael.
Halloween
No.
remake.
Yeah, well,
God.
you keep going with the stuff here. I'll look up who plays him.
You were close.
Leather.
But
Yeah. I knew Tyler Mane did something, so.
Tyler Mane, he did that, and he's also Sabretooth in
Yeah, I
the
remember
Marvel
that.
movies. But yeah, so we're gonna move on
Oh,
to
well,
some upcoming.
in
Go
the
ahead.
2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it is Mark Burnham. I'm not even sure who that is. And Texas Chainsaw for 2013, it is Dan Yeager or Yeager. So, okay, never mind. 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it was, I don't know, where's he at? Where's he at? Why is he not? Is he not in this? Did they just not put him in this one? I
Which one?
wonder. The 2003 one. Oh, there he is. Andrew Bruniarski, but they call him Thomas Hewitt, and in parentheses, Leatherface. So they gave him a name?
Well, 'cause I know that his name was like Bubba or something like that, and he was given a name in the remakes because there was one of the remakes where it shows like the origins of Leatherface, like why he started wearing like masks and stuff.
That's just not needed.
It's weird, but his name's Thomas in that one. I forgot about that,
Yeah, well,
but
let's move on because now I'm a little bit depressed.
he's like, oh man. But moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries, we have February 27th, 1987, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. Arguably one of the best, not only nightmare sequels, but just sequels in general, horror movie sequels. Such a good movie. Truly, truly a masterpiece of its time.
I love it. Such a good movie. I think it should be a holiday. Because, I mean, Dream Warriors, it's just the movie's so fun, so good. To me, it is the prototypical nightmare film. Got Dawkins on the soundtrack. I mean, what it's just there's just you're not missing on this at all. Great effects, great kills. I could watch Dream Warriors just all the time.
I agree. Dream Warriors is really good. I need to go back through and actually watch all of the rewatch the old all of them, because I mean it's been a while since I've done a Nightmare rewatch, but specifically it's been a while since I've rewatched like the sequels, so I'll have to go back and watch those in the near future. But yes, so happy birthday or happy anniversary to Dream Warriors. And our other anniversary this week is March 5th, 1943, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Obviously, this is an OG. This is a original gangster as far as horror movies go. I mean, this is the original Universal horror. And actually, I would love for them to do like a modern version of this because the effects were pretty cool back in the 40s. So I'd like to see them do a practical version of this in modern times.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite of the Universal. Now this is, kind of on the tail end of the wave, and first wave, and obviously, you know, kind of the last of the new creatures. But this movie's so damn scary. It just creeps me out because there is something very scary about water. And I mean, I love water. I'm not afraid of water. But when you're in like natural bodies of water, there are those times where you're, you know, swimming or whatever, or floating or wading, you know, whatever you want to call it. And you think to yourself, you know, we really don't know what's below me right now. And there's that one scene, a creature where she's swimming, like on her back, the lady, and he's like swimming right below her. And he starts to reach up, and he's just like just out of reach. But he's just like swimming right with her, but just like down below. And it's just like so creepy. So, I mean, because it's like you wouldn't know if it's in you, if you're in like a lagoon or a lake or something. It's just terrifying.
I believe they call that thalassophobia, which is like the fear of like deep unknown waters or something like that. But yes, it's very unnerving, especially when like you can't see the bottom, your feet's not touching the bottom. It's very
Yeah.
unnerving because you just don't know what's below you, what might try and get you. And it doesn't help that like a lot of our oceans are unexplored. So who knows? Something might just crawl up from the depths one day and decide to snap me up. Who knows?
Right. I mean, there's. I mean, who knows what's in some of these deepest parts of the ocean? I mean, there could be. They're all the time seeing things that are, you know, these new forms of fish or creatures or, you know, new versions or whatever. And they're going to be wild because they're not really getting light down there. So it's almost going to be like cave animals.
Right.
And just super creepy. But who
Yeah.
knows what's down there? And you know, some of those places where you see these monster-sized lobsters and crap that grow—that's where you get that. Where like, right? These parts where, you know, fishermen and stuff can't get to it, and they grow to these monstrous, weird-ass sizes with multiple layers of the plating, and they just look freakish. It's weird.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like you said, there is so much weird shit in the ocean as it is. It's just like I wouldn't want to fuck with it myself, but
No, I'm just I could not be a scuba diver.
no.
I just couldn't do it. It's too, I don't know. It's almost, it would almost feel like this weird way claustrophobic to me. I don't know, because it's like when you go down so deep to a certain level, you can't see very far. You know, you have your light, but it's only, and it's just, I don't know. I would feel trapped. A lot of my fears are about control and losing control, not having control. I like to be in control of my situations. I like to have my fate in my own hands. And you know, when you put things in there that throw that off balance, it gets scary to me.
Yeah,
I'm not
no,
afraid of
absolutely.
heights, but I'm afraid of falling. Right? I'm afraid of being at high and insecure areas, right, where I could fall. You know, I could be in a high hotel room. Won't bother me at all. But if I was out in the balcony leaning over where I feel like I could legit fall, that's different. It's just,
Right.
it's weird.
It
Anyway.
is, but I'm not, I definitely feel you there. I'm the
Did
same way,
we
like you said.
not just have a talk about fears not too long ago too? Because didn't I say something about my fear of rooms without windows or doors?
Oh yeah, we did.
Why? What's these
I don't
psych
know.
sessions we're doing here?
I don't know. You need to sometime look up. It's called oh shit, it's called The Back Rooms, or yeah, The Back Rooms. Basically, it's like an online horror series, and there's like different people who do it, but it's basically like a paranormal type thing where you get transported to what's called as the back rooms. And it's just like endless rooms with no windows, no doors. It's just endless hallways, basically. So that's like your worst nightmare. But,
You put frogs and turtles in there and I'm done.
oh man, he's done. He's gone. He's gone. But, all right. I don't know how we got from Creature of the Black Lagoon to the back rooms, but hey, you know, it's, I guess we're only a hop, skip, and a jump away from Hitler,
We
right?
just go where it takes us.
That's right. Have you heard that theory that like any conversation you ever have can ultimately lead to Hitler, or will ultimately lead to Hitler if you talk long enough?
Okay.
Well, and
Interesting.
the reason for it, and I'll drop this little bit of knowledge before we move on. The reason for it is that a lot of discussions, if held long enough, will ultimately root back to like nostalgia. And typically through the course of discussing nostalgia, you typically discuss the prior generations and what's the most like, what's probably the most like discussed and historically important like generation to like modern days. It's probably going to be like the 40s and 50s. And ultimately you're going to talk about World War II and Nazis and Hitler. So there you go. That's why they do it.
I suppose so.
Or you have people like me who just bring it up.
Yeah, people that just want to force it into every conversation.
That's right. I kid.
Like, what do you want for dinner? I think I want Italian. Did you know Hitler?
Speaking of the Italians, did you know that Mussolini and Hitler were friends? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I apologize to any of our Italian friends. I didn't mean to be insensitive about your history there. The Germans, I think we can all agree, fuck that guy. But, I kid. All right, moving on to some upcoming releases. We have Cannibal Comedian, which is a hell of a name, coming to Screambox March 4th. It is described as a psychopathic cannibal fed up with his lack of ambition, takes a stab at stand-up comedy in an attempt to chase both his dreams and his victims, which is just, it sounds like, the description of like a Whitest Kids You Know sketch. I don't know if you've ever watched them before. Yeah, that definitely sounds like something they came up with, but I will absolutely watch this. That sounds absolutely fucking hilarious.
Me too. And I had the exact same reaction you did as I was reading this description. I just could not stop laughing because it's like you read it and you're like, of course they made this movie. Just of course. About a cannibal who has no ambition, so he wants to do stand-up comedy and then has to is pursuing both of his. I'm like, ah, man, I don't know what kind of mushrooms are you on when you come up with those kind of ideals, because I don't even know that train of thought, but alas, it's here. And you know what, I'm thankful that we have creative people out there that are willing to take that kind of leap.
Oh man, what a world we live in. But well, check out Cannibal Comedian on March 4th. But
speaking of, did you know Hitler was a cannibal comedian? Oh, I do.
You know, I don't think he was confirmed a cannibal, but it wouldn't surprise me at this point. Anything you tell me about him,
would you put anything beyond him?
Exactly. I mean, with the shit he did, I wouldn't put anything past him at this point. So, but all right. Anywho. Check out Cannibal Comedian on March 4th. And in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of The Monkey.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back with our spoiler-free review of The Monkey. And we're not going to go long on this because old Dave's running out of energy. And, you know, it won't be for productive listening if Dave falls asleep during the recording. So the movie The Monkey is based on a short story by Stephen King, adapted and directed by Osgood Perkins, starring Theo James, Tatiana Maslany, Christina Convery, Colin O'Brien, and others. The movie opened on February 21st in theaters, and it drew $14,200,000 domestically, good for number two for the weekend. behind the new Captain America movie. And just yet again, just horror just keeps on rolling in the box office. Makes me happy. Again, I don't want to say too much because I feel like all the things that I would say and I would rave about would be spoiler. Not even that, just plot points, but it was spoil some of the joy of watching this movie. Because I'm telling you flat out, it is a joy to watch this movie. This movie is everything that I like about a horror movie. Because it's got a cool ideal. It's a nice creepy ideal. And it has a great cast. They are just, I mean, what's his name? Adam, oh man, what's his name? Is it Adam Scott from Parks and Rec and all that? He's like in it just, I mean, like briefly. There's a couple of people that are only in it briefly. That's wild. But anyway, it's got a great cast. I mean, there's, Theo James and I can't remember. Ooh, I'm sorry. I can't remember the kid, but they play twins. So they're playing two roles apiece. And they're playing, the young version and the adult version. And again, that's not giving anything away. It was in the description about twin brothers. But anyway, but it had plenty of blood, but it wasn't so much over the that it was so much that, to me at least, I know my bar is kind of high with blood, but it had some of the most clever kills. And this movie had some of the best humor of virtually any movie that I have seen, not even a horror movie, just movie, because it seems so natural in parts, and it's there's this thing when you're trying to do comedic stuff where if you try to force it's just not funny. It doesn't work. But if you just sometimes if you just put something that is really a I'll use the word contrast, a contrast to what has happened or what is happening to transition almost to a different scene, it just works and it makes you chuckle. And there are some things they did in this that it's weird. It's hard to describe. They used it to transition, but they didn't do it in a way that it pokes fun or undermines what's going on. But it's almost like, when you build tension, you build the heat and the terror, and then you have to bring it back down, right? Before you can do it again. And they did that, and the comedy brought it back down and let you kind of, breathe for a moment and check. And it was just so clever. The comedy was so clever. And I'm telling you, I mean, Stephen King was hyping this movie, and I thought, well, right? He wrote the story, of course he's going to try to hype it. And but then I heard other people hyping it, and I'm like, okay, I don't know, whatever. Man, it's worth all the hype. This movie is so damn good. I haven't really looked back on a list, but I have to say that this has got to be my favorite horror movie so far of the year. It's so much fun, and it is creepy. It's got some scary parts. It's got, like I said, some good comedic parts. Just some, it has, it even has like kind of human interest parts almost without having so much of it shoved down your throat that it feels out of place. And it's just purely by the acting, right? It's acted the right way. That's the best thing about it all. With the horror, with the comedy, with the human interest, with whatever it is, it's because it's delivered right with the acting, right? They don't have to put stupid lines in there or stupid scenes. It's like this cast knew how to deliver and make you feel what you're supposed to feel just based on their acting with a facial or with something else. Like I said, there are some cool cameos. I found out in retrospect after reading something about it, there's even a cool character cameo early in the movie. Meaning it's a character from something else. It was kind of neat. I don't know what the purpose of it was. I think it was just one of those funny things. You don't really catch it unless you just know over the top this person's name, this character's name. But it is kind of neat in retrospect. But anyway, I'm just all over the place because I'm trying not to give so much specific. Because again, I don't want to talk about a specific scene or a specific example or moment because then you don't just naturally get to see it and enjoy it. If I don't want to give anybody a heads up on it. On examples because you just need to watch the movie and enjoy it. It's such a fun movie, so enjoyable. This is a movie that I will rewatch so many times because I don't think it'll ever not make me chuckle. I mean, it's literally like they sat me down and asked me what I wanted to see in a horror movie, and or looked at my viewing and formulated it because it just works. It works for me so good. But again, I'm getting short-winded here and starting to get tired. I've rambled more than I thought I would. Ike, do you have anything that you really want to put on one side? I'm trying for us to be very careful to not give anything spoiler, and it's so hard because to say the things you liked about the movie and but I don't want to give any examples because I do not want to ruin anybody's joy at all. So it's kind of hard to be, and it makes you feel like you're talking in circles and rambling without because you can't get too specific. But do you have anything you want to add to what I said?
Really, the main thing that I would just add to this is that primarily the acting was great. I think that would be a big positive here without revealing too much. Theo James, and I think the other person that played the twin
Yeah,
was Rowan Campbell, I think. Is
that
that
was the boy,
right?
the young guy, the young
I
kid
think, yeah,
that
the
played
guy from
Bill and what was he in?
he was in Halloween Ends. He played
That's right.
Corey. So that guy,
Wait,
obviously
no, no,
fantastic. Or am I thinking about a
wait.
different person?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Corey. No. No, this kid was younger than that.
Oh, the was it Christian Convery? Young, he played Hal and Bill, right?
Yeah, young
The
Hal and
little
Bill.
oh the young okay. Yeah, the there's
Oh, I
another
think I said
person that
Christina,
had
but it's Christian. But I had seen him as something before, and I could not place. And I forgot to look him up. I couldn't place what I had seen him in.
he was in Cocaine Bear.
Okay.
He
All
was in Cocaine
right.
Bear.
Well, that's
So
probably it.
there you go. But
So
other than
funny.
the acting and the apparent weird connection to Cocaine Bear, that's weird. It
That's a
was
beautiful
also,
thing.
it really is
Especially since we brought it up earlier. That's so funny.
true serendipity.
Dear God, if Hitler were in this movie, somehow was in
I don't know how to connect this to Hitler. I'll think about it. But also you also have to give major props to the people who made this movie. Osgood Perkins, who did work on Long Legs, he was the writer and director of this. So I mean, obviously he has his chops. I mean, Long Legs, I think he was the writer on Long Legs. That was a hell of a movie. So this is a follow-up. It's sort of like a little bit of a reprieve because Long Legs was a very heavy movie, I feel like. So this is a little bit lighter hearted, I guess, as lighthearted as a murderous supernatural monkey can be. And like you said, there was some great kills in this, but it was so much fun and it was so humorous that it didn't feel like it wasn't because there were a couple spooky parts, but it wasn't like. It was mostly the fun, you know what I mean? And Theo James, fantastic. Like I said in the previous episode when we were talking about this, he plays a huge part in the Divergent movies. So that was like the last thing that I saw him in. So this was a very different experience of Theo James than it was with those movies. But yeah, it was a fun time. I think that's the big thing to take away from this is that this is just a very fun movie. And honestly, that's all you can ask for with this. But also, it's called The Monkey. Like, I hope nobody's expecting this to be an Oscar winner. It's called The Fucking Monkey. Like, it's about a goddamn toy monkey. I hope nobody's out there saying, oh, this needed to be Oscar winning, because sweet Jesus.
I'm telling you though, just like watching this movie, it feels like watching the movie is what it feels like reading Stephen King. I mean, it's just a great ad adaptation because we know Stephen King has this wacky little biting kind of humor about things, right? I mean, not only in his writings, but just if you ever see anything he does online, right? He's got a wit about him, and I just feel like this parlayed. I've not read the short story, but I'm completely going to read it now. I just really, I mean, I wanted to read it anyway, but now I super want to read it. But I just feel like this has to be just an absolute great adaptation. Now, I know some of the things I've read since Perkins is, he put a little bit here and there in it. I don't, you have to a little bit, right? But it just felt, it was just such a good time. So, all right, let's rate this. This is easy for me. This is, I mean, no brainer. This is a 4 out of 5. Again, it's not perfect enough to go any higher. I mean, I'm not gonna go higher than that on it, but this movie was just so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. And one of my biggest things about a movie is rewatchability, right? Because I rewatch horror movies, and so I want a horror movie that has that rewatchability. Because if it's a one view and done for me, I mean, it could be a pretty good movie, but it's like it. That's not going to bump it up for me. The stuff that I really like, I'll watch over and over and over again. And this is it. This has got tons of rewatchability. Again, it was easy for me. It's a 4 out of 5. No brainer for me. Ike, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. Just based on the pure creativity of this film, 4 out of 5. It's just a very enjoyable movie, and like you said, it does have that rewatchability, which compared to some of the movies we reviewed so far this year, there's definitely been some stinkers. So it was very refreshing to get a pretty solid movie before February ends. So. Not to say that the other movies weren't solid, but this is definitely probably the most solid that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, at least with our tastes and whatever. Yeah, I mean, I just think this was hitting all the boxes. And but we do have one next week that will be interesting for us to watch, because we already spoke of in this episode, and you reiterated that, man, we love public domain horror, and we've talked about, and I think we've watched at least one, maybe a couple. I don't know. We've watched at least one or however many of the Steamboat Willie adaptations. But next episode, we're reviewing another one, and this is I Heart Willie. Now, Ike, this is the one. Do you remember the description? This is the one where they take the angle that Willie is some form of a deformed mouse boy, and that's the origin story. And so it's a little different. And this movie, by the time you listen to this episode will be dropping on February 27th. We'll already have come and gone from theaters, because this only got a one night only special event theater run on, I don't, I guess run's not the right word, on February 26th. So it's already been there and out, unless somehow it gets any form of another pickup or any form of an extension. But I would guess that this is going to come to digital and, video on demand very, very soon. This will probably have a very quick turnaround to get on those platforms. The movie is described as an obsessed psychopath unknowingly leads her friends into a deadly mousetrap where pure evil seeks to harvest their skin. So I'm intrigued by this one, because I remember when we read some of the initial descriptions where it talks about kind of the origins, the mutated mouse boy. And that's their term. They use mouse boy in lots of the materials. It just had a little different approach than some of these others. All the others, it's like they seem to blur together a little bit with their descriptions. And trying to remember which one's which and everything. And this one feels a little different. So I'm looking forward to seeing this one, seeing if it stands out as a little different. And of course, we've yet to see Screamboat. It's not out yet. That's the one we're looking forward to with David Howard Thornton. So we're not done with these Steamboat Willie adaptations for us yet. But we're gonna watch this one next week and review it on the next episode. So before we get out of here and I go to bed, we'd like to say thank you to all the wives, listeners, and followers for all of your support and cooperation and everything else you give us. Although, guys, we'd really like a little more. We get a lot of interactions on social media, but we need some comments. We need some verbiage so that we can, when we do the talk to us internet, we can respond, and we can formulate a conversation. And again, we'll stress, we're not going to call you out or, make you look like a fool. We're not here to make fun of you. We just want to talk. So give us something. Give us something to work with. But make sure you do subscribe to us on social media. We are on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams and you'll find us. So before we close this episode that I just felt like I stumbled through in a half sleep daze, Ike, anything you want to add?
Like you said, I'm excited for the iHeartRally. I think it's going to be different than what we've gotten previously. So that's the big thing driving me is that this is going to be different. So very excited for that. But other than that, just everyone out there, we always say it, perfect time to mention it. Go out and support horror movies. I mean, what's more important, anything else you're doing or watching a horror movie? But if you go out and support horror movies, we get more of them. And like you said, it's kind of unfortunate that this is only getting a one day release because I'm for sure not going to be able to go see it in theaters. So we'll have to wait for it to come on to streaming and whatnot. But it should be a pretty quick turnaround, given that this movie, from what I am reading on IMDb, was made last year. So hopefully they've got those plans solidified or we can buy it somewhere.
Well, fortunately, Ike, we have a screener link because we're connected. That's how we're reviewing it. We're
Good
connected.
Lord, I did not
That's
know that.
right.
Well, that's even more exciting.
I thought I told you that, but yeah, we've we're on that list of people where they reach out about, hey, this is coming up. Would you like to review? And yeah, so I said, yeah, I
Hell
would
yeah.
like that. And alas, that's what we're doing. So yeah, I thought I already told you that, but yeah, I'll be sending that over to you and
It's very
for us to
possible
watch.
you have. I have very bad memory.
Again, I've been in a post flu whatever fatigue coma, so I don't know that I did or not. We're lucky that I remembered it was Tuesday and came on to record, honestly. No, I joke. It's not that bad yet, but I'm good in the morning, right? I feel pretty good in the morning and everything else, but then just by the end of the work day, by dinner time, it's just like I'm like, whew, throw some food at me so I can just go to bed.
Right.
Because it's like all the energy I've got. But all right, yeah. So we will definitely, and again, it'll be a spoiler-free review of High Heart Willie. I feel like there will probably not be a very large percentage of our listeners who will have gotten to see it. I feel like it'll probably be in just major markets. So I don't know that, but so hopefully we can we like what we see and we can sell it up carny style and get some people to enticed enough to buy it or rent it when it comes out digitally. And so we'll see. But again, I do of all the Steamboat Willie ones that are out so far that have been out. Again, I know we reviewed at least one, The Mousetrap. I don't
Yeah.
know that if we reviewed any others or not. I don't know. I feel like I have at least watched one or two others. I can't even remember. I don't even remember how many there have been. But I feel like I've watched more than one already. But I know we,
I think there's just the three. I think it's just Steam Screamboat,
which it's not out
iHeartRally.
yet.
Yeah. The one that's coming that we're watching, and then the one that we did watch, but I don't remember what I can never remember the name.
That was the Mousetrap or Mousetrap.
Yeah, Mousetrap.
Okay,
So
well,
I think it's just the three, but it does feel like there's
anyway,
been like 5 billion.
it's crazy. But anyway, like I said, I'm looking forward to Screamboat, but even it, description-wise, feels a lot like the others. It doesn't really. But this one, when you read the description, sounds different. So I'm hoping so. This is more like an origin story. I don't know. It just felt different. So let's hope so. But I feel like we've talked a lot about it, almost like gave a pre-review to the review. So anyway, yeah, was that all you wanted to add, Ike?
I think so.
I'm sorry. All right, well then let's get out of here again. Next episode, I Heart Willie. And until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.